Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Pastor Robert Thibodeau, welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, Dr. Jo McGriffin is our guest today, and she has an extensive background in healthcare education and administration. She's an ordained minister and is the executive director of development of the Zoe Healing Center in Edmond, Oklahoma. She was raised in a Christian home and has seen and experienced the healing power of God in her life and family. She's also the author of a great book, Calling the Church Out of Egypt. It's available on Amazon, and we'll be discussing this book and other things as well today. Help me welcome to the program, Dr. Jo McGriffin. Jo, thank you for coming on the program today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. What a privilege to be able to be with you today.
Amen. Now, the first question, other than the brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Jo McGriffin?
Well, Jo McGriffin is a follower of Christ. I became a Christian when I was only 10 years old. I grew up basically until then with alcoholic parents, but I saw the transformation of God in my family. And I remember on Saturday nights when we had parties all the time, and then all of a sudden we were changing and we were having family altars where my father was leading us in prayer and studying the Word of God, and he was a totally changed man. And so as I grew up, I just saw the power of God. I loved Jesus all my life. I went to be on to be a nurse, and then, of course, like you said, an administrator. I've taught nursing and healthcare and wellness on college campuses. But I'm just a person that loves the Lord, and I take God in His Word as a child would. My father said it. I believe it. And that's all there is to it.
Amen. Amen. And you're married?
Yes, I am.
What about your family?
Yeah. I am married to an amazing man that supports me in ministry and just pulls out the strength in me like a godly husband would. But I have two children. They're grown. I have a daughter that's actually an administrator for a nonprofit, Oasis for Orphans, out of Kenya. And then I have a son that is married, and he lives in Kansas. So I'm an empty nester.
Amen. Amen. Well, in your book, Calling the Church Out of Egypt, you start off by saying the meaning of life is the wrong question we are pursuing. So what's the right question?
The question we need to be pursuing is, what is your source of life? One of the things that I find is many people are searching for meaning, they're searching for purpose. And when we encounter Jesus Christ, everything changes because it's His purpose. And our purpose is just our assignment to know Him and to make Him known. But then the question is the source of life. And what I'm finding, Pastor Bob, is that we have become so dependent on the gods of this world and its values instead of the God we profess to serve. And that keeps people in bondage and torment, and it's leading to spiritual death. And so it really is, what is the source of life? What is yours? There's a lot of good things out there, but they're not God. Yeah. And I want to be plugged in, and I want people to be plugged into the source of truth, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And you know, you have, you're director of a healing ministry. Many people, even other Christians, question whether it's possible to actually see miracles today. You know, they haven't seen them. They have not experienced them. They doubt those that say they have. Mm-hmm. Why is this? Why is it so hard for others, especially other Christians, to believe that the miracles they read about in the Bible can still happen today?
It's a funny question, because in our ministry, one of the things I would say, at least 80% of the individuals that come in and that get healed and delivered are from the body of Christ, because they don't believe. But when people get desperate and they've exhausted everything else, all of a sudden, it's like, I'm going to try one more thing. And they find us. And it's been amazing. But I think there's a couple things that happen. One is that we have been so, I would say, somewhat complacent, but we're so desperate to do whatever it takes to stay well that we're just going after all kinds of things. And we don't really realize what all we have in Christ. We've forgotten that. The other thing that's happening is that we are blending. We think that everything, whether it's paganism, humanism, whatever spiritual philosophy, in holistic health especially, that it's all culturally relevant and equal, and it's not. Again, it goes back to what is the source?
Amen.
And so that's one of the things. But it's interesting because, for example, many people come in for physical healing, but that's not the issue. The issue is the heart transformation. God wants to heal from the inside out. And many times when that happens, we don't even get to pray for the physical. The physical just takes care of itself because God's the healer. And we don't want people to come in for healing. I want them to know the healer. I don't want them to come in after the promises. I want them to know the promise, the one that makes the promises.
Amen. Amen. You know, my first experience, I guess you could say, with healing, you know, I'd seen people get prayed for and then say they were healed and all that. But when I was at Bible school in Fort Worth, that's when I started seeing and being in the present, you know, talking to people in our class. There was one guy he was in a car accident while we were, you know, just days after school started. And he would not miss a class for anything. He couldn't walk. They had to like wheel him in. And then he'd lay on the bench in the back because he couldn't sit in a chair for, you know, 5-6 hours. And just from being under that anointing and hearing, you know, the testimonies, hearing, you know, the instructors and all that, they just recognized that the power of faith was at work in him and walked up and laid hands on him, and he sat up and was instantly healed. And that's when I knew this stuff's real. Mm-hmm. This is real, because I knew what condition that guy was in. You know, I'd seen him normal, and then he got out of he was in an accident on like a Friday afternoon. He got out of the hospital Monday morning. Tuesday, he was back in class. But like I said, he had to lay on the back bench. You know, I knew what was going on. And, you know, so, but that really sparked faith in me when I seen it, something that I knew. And my first experience of actually praying for someone and seeing them healed was my granddaughter. When my daughter was pregnant with her in the womb. She was in the womb.
Wow, and, praise the Lord.
You know how they go in for the sonogram and have the, you know, they take a video of it and all that? Well, my daughter, this is like 10 days after I graduated, maybe not even that long, maybe 5 days after I graduated from Bible school. And I was, without going into all details, I was going on about 3.5 hours sleep a day because I was working two jobs and going to Bible school. And I was finally had an opportunity where I could sleep. I was taking advantage of it. And my daughter came in crying, woke me up, and she had just got back from her first sonogram appointment. And she said, the doctor says there's no blood supply to the baby's brain. And this was on a Friday, about 1:30 in the afternoon. He said, and he's going to make me an appointment with a specialist who will give me my options. And we know what options they were going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you want to do? And she said, I want you to pray, because I believe if you pray, God will heal the baby. So now I just graduated from this great faith school, right? My faith was, you know, like, you know, like a hungry dog looking at a bone, you know, and, but her faith wasn't there. She hadn't sat under that anointing. So I started with John 10:10, you know, the devil comes to kill, steal, destroy, but God, Jesus came to have life, you know, and more abundantly. I started there and started walking through various healing scriptures. After about 10, 15 minutes, I could see that spark in her eye. And that's when we prayed. Mm-hmm. And we no sooner said amen than the phone rang, and it was the doctor's office. And they said they had made her an appointment for 8 o'clock the following Monday morning with this quote unquote specialist. Right. And her, her husband had to work. He couldn't take off no notice like that. So she said, "Will you go with me?" I said, "Yep, we will." And she played the video for me after this. And you could see the doctor keep measuring these different areas and stuff. And the head looked like it was shaped like a football. I mean, it just, you could tell something's wrong. Well, we went in, they popped the videotape in because she wanted to record that one too. The specialist came in and he's doing all this measuring. He scratches his head. He goes and looks in the file, comes back over, measures some more. And I'm praying in tongues, you know, silently behind him. And then he looks around and says, "Why are you here?" He goes, "Well, the doctor said this." I know what the doctor said, but this is a perfectly fine little girl. That's the first time we knew it was a girl. And he said, and the images on the on being recorded are completely different. They look different, right?
Wow.
And I said, "Denise, either your doctor," who had been, you know, like 25 years in practice at the time, said, "either your doctor totally screwed this up, or God healed your baby in 3 days," which is, I believe God healed the baby.
Yes, I do too. Praise the Lord. See, God is so good.
Amen.
And what you said, Pastor Bob, is the fact that it's the Word. Jesus is the Word. Yep. He tells us that. But then also in John 6:63, it says, "The words that I speak are spirit and life." They're life. Exactly. And so if we'll just receive those things, and it's just like in the book, I use Egypt a lot because today it's unbelief. It's like we just don't believe that God is good, that he's willing to heal. That's probably one of the biggest ones is we don't believe it. It's his will. And it's like we know that his word is his will. And if we can just receive, if we receive salvation by faith, faith is the connector. Salvation is really, we receive it, it's grace. And if we think of the word salvation, sozo, we see it over and over with the physical healing of the woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment. We see the word well with the guy with the demons coming out of him. He was had a sound mind. We see it in many things like that. And so when you look at the word sozo, it's healing, deliverance, provision, it's wholeness. And so it's Jesus wants us of obviously eternal life, and our the transformation of our heart is the greatest miracle. But he died and he rose again so that we can also live to represent him as ambassadors with excellence. And so you wouldn't go to a banker if they were bankrupt all the time, or you wouldn't ask financial advice from somebody on the street that didn't have a house or had just squandered his money. And so why would people want to look at a Christ ambassador when we can't, we can profess the Bible, but we're not living what the Bible says. Exactly. And that was a huge burden for me. I was like, I can't do that. And that's where I went to the Lord and said, "Lord, it's just you and me, but I trust you and I trust your word, and show me how to walk out your word." And exactly what you just said, you just pray. And when things come back, it's like, "Wow, Lord, thank you. You get the credit for that."
That's right. Amen. Amen. Folks, I want to take a moment here to encourage everyone to go down into the show notes and order your copy of Calling the Church Out of Egypt, a book by Joe McGuffin. With everything we see happening in society today, God is looking for his people called by his name to take a stand. And therein lies the problem. So many people are not hearing his voice anymore. Instead of seeking God, they're seeking the world. You know, you got suicide, chronic illnesses, poverty. They're more established in this nation than ever before. And the people affected are seeking remedies from the world and not the church. Why is that? Because the church is also seeking the world. And in Joe McGuffin's book, Calling the Church Out of Egypt, you will learn that we are supposed to be the carriers of hope, not the world. Go down the show notes and purchase your copy of her book today. We're back with Joe McGuffin now. Joe, you give a great example of why we should believe God's word, every bit of it. And I like to say, you know, every jot and tittle and every period and comma. But in this example you provided, you were praying for a little girl who had a spider bite. Tell us about that example that you provided as a testimony of faith.
Well, it was in a small group. We were having a small group in our home. and had several families. And, you know, it's God's so good, because when you're trying to just live the example, he puts you on the spot and he sets you up. We don't go looking for things. Well, so at the end of the small group, we always ask for prayer requests. And usually there are things that we just pray about, but people aren't not necessarily there. But this little girl, she's wanted prayer for her spider bite. And so I was like, okay. So I knelt down and people were watching. And so I just laid my hand on her thigh, and she had like pants on, but just through her clothing, I could feel the heat. It was really hot. Her mother said that she had fever and that it was really huge. And so the Lord I just sensed in my spirit to ask her just a typical question at home. So I asked her, I said, so when you go to bed at night, we were talking about families before then. I said, so when you go to bed at night and your dad had to leave the room for a minute, but he said he'd be right back to kiss you goodnight, would you believe him? And she said, oh, absolutely. And I said, why? Because he always does what he says he will. And that was the perfect answer that yeah. from a child. And so I said that out loud. I said, that's exactly, I want you to believe your Heavenly Father. Our Father will always do what he says he'll do. And this child, she was probably 11, 12-ish. So she was an older child, but we just prayed for it. And so the mom called me as they were actually driving home and had said that the fever broke and the pain was gone. Well, then she called me later that evening, and she said that as they were, she was getting in her pajamas and she was getting ready to dress the wound because it had a black spot in the middle of it. Of course, I knew that black spot is necrotic tissue, and she had planned to go to the doctor because it had that black spot, but the black spot and the pus just popped out on the floor. And so she was telling me that. And so I'm like, praise the Lord. So we just thank the Lord. And that's a key, is we don't always see something instant, but we know the healing took place at the cross. Yeah. And so we can thank him in advance before we see things. And so we just kept thanking the Lord that, you know, this is God's taking care of this. And so the next day, the mom sent me a picture, and it was just kind of a light pink spot that you could barely even see that she had a spider bite. Yeah. And so that's just one example.
Yeah, exactly. When I was reading that, I was like, oh, we got to talk about this one. This is so awesome.
And it's that childlike faith. Yeah. Of just a father and a daughter. And that's where we try to intellectualize, we try to reason. And I think, Bob, when you asked me earlier about why people don't believe, I think we've been disappointed so much that we've allowed the devil to diss us, and we're afraid to believe.
Yeah, amen, amen. Now, we're talking a lot about, you know, medicine and things like that. So can you give us a brief synopsis of the history of medicine as you explained in your book? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And in fact, that just shocked me, because as I was in the healthcare field, the Lord just kept dropping things in my lap, even though I realized that there was a big dichotomy with what the Bible was saying and what I was practicing. And so I just began to ask the Lord. But for example, when I started looking at the history of medicine, and anybody can Google this, it's just regular history. But modern medicine, as we know it today, it's actually just an advanced form of Egyptian and Greek medicine. And when I started looking things up, when I looked at what, for example, the Bible says sorcery, that is a Greek word for pharmakia. It's pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And when you look up that, it's the manipulation of elements using drugs and magic. And I thought, wow, that just was mind-boggling to me. Yeah. And then I started looking up the history of psychology, for example, because that came later. But that was also, that had a dark origin. It was atheistic and it had demonic inspiration. For example, Carl Jung is the father of psychoanalysis, which is the study of the soul. That's what psychology is. And we know that soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And so when I was just, and again, you can just go on his website. He still has a foundation, and look at his writings, original writings. But his inspiration came from spirit guides. One in particular was named Philemon. He spoke to the dead. He spoke to Elijah and several people that have already died to get his inspiration. One of those inspirations is about consciousness, and it's the foundation of the Myers-Briggs personality assessment. Wow. I've taken that assessment. I've since renounced it. But we grew up, you know, in leadership and all these personality things, but that's the basis of that. I found that what was so interesting, too, is that in the history books, actually history books, secular history books, it says that the Hebrew people, there was a period of time where the Hebrew people believed God for healing and that medicine was not even used because the Hebrew people, they named Jehovah their God. That's stated in secular history books. And so I'm like, wow, God, what went wrong? Because I want to be one of those people that you said that you would be my God. Amen. And that I could be your child. And so that's what I'm striving for is, Lord, I want to be that. I want to be the disciple in the New Testament that says, wait a minute, we didn't do all this stuff. We just believed God. And we just preached the word and things happened. Even Peter's shadow.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, yeah. Lord, it's just a different world than we're living in today and what we're reading about. And we're trying to get people convinced that Jesus is life. But yet, I want to demonstrate that God is life. And so there's just things like that have happened. But I also started researching like things like our what we call holistic health. Mm-hmm. A lot of our holistic health, we call it mind-body, but it's packaged in a way that it's deceiving. It's packaged because there's a spiritual philosophy behind these things. It's really mind-body-spirit, but they're packaging it as mind-body as an alternative to modern medicine so that you don't have to take drugs. For example, I researched like essential oils, and I have a whole chapter on oils, and boy, that's a hot topic and controversial.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Because we have pastors, we have so many people in the church that are actually in the pyramid system with these systems that are selling and buying and using them. And now I have nothing against oil or the plant itself. Aloe vera, for example, you put it on a burn. For a sunburn. We know that plants have medicinal properties. Our drugs that are modern day are also derivatives of plants, most of them. So we know that that's medicinal. But what happens, like for example, and I'm just going to say the company, one of them that I researched, they have a book out called Oils of the Bible. It's Young Living. They talk about, they entice people and say, come learn the art of healing like Jesus did. I'm like, what? And so I was intrigued by that. I read the book, and on our website for the Zoe Healing Center, I even have a position paper, but I took that book that's published, and there's several pages of just the inerrancy of Scripture because they're using Scripture. But what's happening, a lot of these things, is in holistic health, for example, the energy healing that we call it, holistic health, what it is it's actually like an energy. The essence of that oil, the way they're promoting it, it's a life force in that. And that's the distraction that people are getting, the history that they're getting deceived. It's really pantheistic and pagan worldview that teaches the life of creation is the life of God, so that humans, animals, plants, they contain God, an actual divine life or energy force, that this life force is creative, it's intelligent, and it can heal because it's actually God breathed. And that's huge when people don't know that. And so, and the thing about a lot of these things, not just in medicine, modern medicine, and psychology, but in these alternative things, you're not signing an informed consent like you are with modern medicine. Right. But the participation in these things, you're consenting by participating. Yeah. And if you can imagine, like when we order something off online or we take a course online, there's always something about you agree to the terms before you submit.
Yeah.
And so we submit, and they're assuming that you've read those things because you're going to be, they're not liable anymore because they've given you the terms of that agreement. Okay. In mind, body, spirit, like even yoga and the sacred Enneagram, these are things that are in our churches and we've Christianized them. Mm-hmm. But what's happened is that when we participate, we're evoking the spiritual philosophy behind that, and we know that's Antichrist. Mm-hmm. But the salvation, they use Christian terms, they use scriptures, but the salvation that they're talking about is the transformation of consciousness so that we can be psychologically awakened or enlightened to the unity and the oneness of all creation, or be as God. And that's we know is not true.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Jo McGuffin, as we've been talking about her book, Calling the Church Out of Egypt. Now, this interview is so interesting, and we have so much to go through. This is actually part one of three parts to this interview. This is great, and we just barely scratched the surface on the information she's going to be sharing in these upcoming two episodes. So folks, you need to make sure you go down to the show notes, click the link, order her book, Calling the Church Out of Egypt, but be sure that you put on your schedule to come back tomorrow to catch this next episode, because it just gets better. And she goes into so much detail that is so applicable to what we see happening in the church today. Folks, there is absolutely no excuse for what's going on. But till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.